Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You might remember last month we had a contest for guest host of the month, and we had a lot of people send in essays on why they wanted to be a guest host of the month. Well, we have picked our winner, and we're going to bring him in here in just a moment on the Phil Hendry Show. He will be guest hosting for a bit here on our program with his own topic. Because I've often wondered, you know, what would it sound like if someone, just one of our listeners, one of our callers, was able to have their hour on the air? How would they conduct an hour of talk radio or any kind of radio for that matter? So let's bring him in. Bud, go ahead and get him. And this is Chris, right? Chris, go ahead.
How you doing?
I'm good. And Chris, what is your last name?
My name is Chris Norton.
And what do you do, Chris?
I'm in pharmaceutical sales. I was going to say I shouldn't be so nervous because I'm on the radio right now, but I guess I am.
You're doing fine. What do you do for a living?
Yes, sir. I'm in pharmaceutical sales in Hermosa Beach, California.
All right, Chris, you're going to be talking today on a topic that you picked. I'm going to let you go ahead. We'll give our phone number out, 1-800-449-8686, and we'll write that down for you, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, God, would you start off by giving the number and go ahead and launch into it? Folks, this is Chris Norton. He's from Hermosa Beach, California. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you very much, Phil. My name is Chris Norton, and I'm here today, and I want to give out the phone number, which is 1-800-449-8686. There is a bad thing going on right now, and it's called stalking. You have heard about women who get stalked. Unfortunately, while you hear about women that have been stalked, you never hear about the other side of the coin, and that's about the men who are also stalked. Stalking happens to men, and I'm speaking from personal experience. This happened to me. I want you to know, and I'm not saying this to be egotistical, but just so you know who I am and how I relate to the world. I am very good looking. I have been told by women that I'm sassy. I have done modeling. I have done some adult films. I'm now trying to break into the adult film business as a producer, director, and doing continuity. But I was stalked, and I want to help guys who may have this problem. I was stalked by a very prominent Hollywood actress. She is very prominent. I do not want to mention her name, but she is very prominent, and she has been in a lot of movies, especially this year. She has been with the top leading men. She has stalked me. I met her. I was working as an assistant director on one of her films. And I also, because the guy who was supposed to park the cars didn't show up, I was helping people park their cars, and that's how I met her. We went out once. At this time, I do want to say that we did go to bed, and she told me she had a really good time in bed, and that she really liked my style because I'm very sensual, and I know how to treat a lady right in bed. And now she follows me in her Mercedes-Benz, and she leaves notes in my mailbox. The reason why women stalk is because after you give it to them, it's so good they want it again and again, and they're afraid they won't get it again, so they stalk you to get it. A lot of women fake it with guys, but I have never been with a woman who's ever faked it with me. Women are always being real with me, and that's why I get stalked a lot. They say to me all the time, "Oh my God, it was really good. Thank you." If you're as good as me, you could be at risk for being stalked. Here are the signs that a woman is a stalker. And I want to deviate because I am reading because I want to thank the radio station. But I just want to say that this is really important because you should, if you have a pencil or a pencil and paper, you should write down what I'm saying. Number one, these are the signs that a woman may be a stalker. Number one, she picks up the check. This is very unusual for women to pick up the check to actually want to pay for a date. It is a control mechanism. It also is a sign of potential stalking. Number two, she owns her own condominium. She does not rent it, she owns it. That is also a red flag because that means she has a lair or a nest, if you will, that she wants to draw you back into because she want to have a husband. And that's very, very significant if she owns, not rents. Number three, it has been my experience that short, dark-haired women, generally short, dark-haired Italian women, are trying to compensate for something, and they're going to stalk you. Short women who have dark hair. Number four, if she drives a really good car, like I drive a 5-speed Z28, which is good, but I'm a guy. I knew a woman once who owned her own BMW, and that's a sign she stalk you because she has everything but a man. So she'll want you because she already has a good car. Number five, women over 30 are a high probability of stalking because they are getting toward menopause and they're getting desperate. Women over 30 who are still single are really, I mean, it's kind of pathetic if they don't have a guy, so they will start to stalk you if they're over 30. Number six, if it looks like she just put her lipstick on before joining you, I don't know if you've ever had dinner with a girl and it looks like she just put her lipstick on, she just put on her makeup, she's doing it for you. It's kind of weird for her to sit in her car and powder her face and put her lipstick on because she's getting ready for it. So it means she's getting ready for it. And it's common decency would say at least eat your dinner first and have a drink before you get it. But she's putting on her lipstick because she wants it now as soon as she comes into the restaurant, which I think is really, I mean, is wrong. My name is Chris Norton. I'm the special guest host on the Phil Henry Show here today. I'm talking about stalking. I have been stalked by, and I'm currently being stalked by, a famous Hollywood actress. And also, you might ask, well, do I call the police? Okay, if you're a woman and you're being stalked by a guy, I would say you should call the police. But if you're a guy and you're being stalked by a woman, I would not call the police because it makes you look a little, I don't know if it's okay to say, like you're a pussy. Or I mean, you're a little wussed out. Just deal with it, but don't, under no circumstance, have sex with her. The reason why she's stalking you in the first place is because you gave it to her real good. Well, now, if you give it to her again, she will probably slit her wrist or something. A good movie to see is, of course, Fatal Attraction, or if you saw Swim Fan, that was a pretty awesome flick, too. Swim Fan tells all about it in the movie Swim Fan. So, our number is 1-800-449-8686. My name is Chris Norton. I have said that I'm good looking, and I have said that I have a good body and everything, and I'm not saying that to be egotistical, but I want you to understand that I'm high risk for being stalked. 1-800-449-ACIS-ACIS. And, okay. Okay.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Welcome back. My name is Chris Norton. I'm 28. I'm a telemarketer from Hermosa Beach, California. I'm on the Phil Henry Show Guest Host of the Month contest. And I won a contest. I sent in an essay, and Mr. Henry's had me on his show. I'm talking about the six signs that a woman is stalking you. We hear about women being stalked, but we never hear about men being stalked. It's really sexist. It's really wrong. A lot of men are stalked. A lot of men are put through a lot of misery by women. But all you ever hear about are women being stalked. And the reason why is because women get all the sympathy and men don't get any. Just because of, just, you know, stuff that's happened. I mean, and everybody talks about how women have been kept down and everything. I've never kept a woman down, so I don't know who they're talking about. I'm sure a lot of guys have, but I never did it. And they talk about how women never make enough money. Okay, what's that got to do with it? Okay, why So in other words, what? Men are supposed to be stalked, but you're not. I mean, I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense. So that's one thing to think about. And then I'll go through my list, and then I'll give the phone number again. 1-800-449-SIS-SIS. 1-800-449-SIS-SIS. Remember, if she picks up the check, if she owns her own condominium, that's really weird. That's really weird. I mean, a woman that owns her own condominium, what? Number three, if she's short and dark-haired, you know, those are the ones. They're little chicks. They got, you know, big butts and stuff, and they follow you everywhere and everything. Number four, she drives a really good car. Anything that has to do with that. Okay, let's go now to Handy. Handy, hi. You're on the Chris Norton. I mean, you're on the Phil Henry Show, but I mean, I'm Chris Norton.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Chris.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm currently going. I was curious about the point you made about a woman over 30. I'm currently going out with a woman who's 33. I'm 24 years old, and I wanted to just know what you meant by that.
That's a really good point. Thanks for your call. Women over 30 who are not yet not have a boyfriend or whatever, or maybe you're not yet in a relationship, or I mean in a relationship. That's really kind of pathetic. If she's hot, you know, she'll have a long-term boyfriend, or she'll already be married, or she dates a lot of guys while she takes care of her career as a model. But if she's over 30 and she's not hot, she's probably one of these women who has some job in a bank or something and, you know, is just so scary to be around. Nobody wants to be around her. So that's kind of pathetic. And those are the ones that will most likely, stalk you. Okay, let's go now to Bob. Hi, Bob. You're on with Chris Norton here on the... Also, another thing I wanted to just mention, if she has pent-up anger because she's never had an orgasm, they'll stalk you if you give them one. Then they'll follow you everywhere, and you think they'll do what you want them to do, but they won't. They want you to do what they want you for you to do, but they will never do what they want to do. They'll always do what you... I mean, they'll do what they want to do. Okay, Bob, you're on with Chris Norton.
Well, hi, Chris.
Hi.
I have a girlfriend who's 33, and I was curious what you meant about women over 30. I'm 23.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to say about women over 30 is that they're really pathetic if they don't have a boyfriend. I mean, it's really kind of sad. And just think about it. You're over 30, and you don't have a man. I mean, that is sad. So I like to just say, if she's over 30 and there's no guy that's with her, she's probably hanky. And seriously, you know, there's probably a lot of, I don't know, hygiene issues and stuff. So I would definitely, you know, lay low on that. Here's Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on with Chris Norton.
Oh, hi, Chris.
Hi, Jim.
I'm 23 years old, and I have a girlfriend who's 33. And I was curious about what you said about women over 30.
Right. One of the things about that is that it's really sad if she's over 30. Over 30 with a cat is the freakiest. Here's the thing. If she's over 30 and she has, like, cats, that's so sad, and it's really kind of pathetic. 'Cause you go into her apartment, and she's like, do you want a wine or whatever? I mean, I don't know what she's saying. Yeah, I guess, or, you know, what have you. And she'll bust out with the wine and everything. Then she'll put on some Anita Baker or some, you know, really sad stuff like that, or some, you know, like, Swing Out Sister or some... And it's really kind of pathetic. And then you listen to that and you're like, okay, I guess I'm having fun. And then she'll go, well, there's a really good seafood place. And you go, okay. And, you know, I mean, when are we going to get to the cess part? But it's pretty pathetic. Okay, let's go over to Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on the Phil Henry Show. But I mean, I'm not Phil Henry, but I mean, I'm Chris Norton.
Oh, hi. Hi, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm currently 23, and my girlfriend's 33, and I was wondering what you meant about women over 30.
Yeah, over 30 generally means that they're about 2 weeks or so away from menopause. And that means the hair starts to grow on their chin and stuff. And it's scary. So if a chick's over 30, you have to be aware of the fact that she's going to start to get facial hair. And I mean mustache, sideburns, everything. And so I would stay away from that because the hormones, I think, is what they're called, will change. And then, I mean, it'll be frightening. She'll start getting chest hair and stuff and on her back and everything. Let's go to Bob. Hi, Bob.
Oh, hi, Chris.
Hi, Bob.
I'm over 30, or I mean, my girlfriend's over 30, and I'm 23. I was curious about what you meant by that.
One of the things about women over 30 is if they sleep over at your house, like say you say, do you want to sleep over? And they say, yeah, okay. And then they take their shirt off and you see like they've got back hair and stuff. Then they'll also use your razor. And that's pretty sad. It's pretty pathetic. Okay. So that's my hour. That's what I wanted to say. And if you have any more comments, I want to thank the people that called. 1-800-449-ACIS-ACIS. We got one more phone call. It's from Lance. Hey, Lance, how you doing?
Yeah, Chris, this is Lance. Were those calls good?
We're still on the air, man, so.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus.
And, so that's a lot of fun. And I hope that you can take a lot of stuff that I've been saying here about it.
You can't just get up, man.
Well, I'm done.
I know, we're still on the air.
We're still on the air. You can't just get up.
Yeah, but I'm done.
You may be done, but you can't just get up and walk away. You have to say, well, folks, that's it. That's the show. Then you cue the commercial, and then you're back on the air, or you're back into a commercial break. You don't just say, okay, well, I'm done, and then get up and leave, because that means I've got 3 minutes of dead air here before I go to a commercial. Do you understand?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. So, is that it? So guys get stalked?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? And I don't mean to, embarrass you.
What?
The guy that called, was that your manager or something? Some friend of yours?
No, those are just separate callers.
Uh-huh. See, here's the thing.
You know, some man, radio's lame. I don't want to do it.
No, okay, well, you're lame. Because, first of all...
you're just saying that because I'm good, or what?
Yeah, you're real good, man. Look, if you have one guy call and change his name to five different names, it doesn't mean I can't tell it's the same guy. If you're going to have people call, have a lot of different people call. Not just one dude named Lance. Oh, and now here's Bob.
Oh, you couldn't tell.
No, I couldn't tell at all. Plus the fact he asked the same question over and over and over again.
What?
What do you mean, what? Hi, I'm 23. My girlfriend's 33. I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, well, I told him to ask questions, and...
Well, he asked a question. The same...
But it was a different guy.
All right, let's say it was really a different guy. Four different guys asking the same question. You don't want to have them on either. You want to have four different people, four different questions. Not four different people, the same question.
So you thought it was the same guy?
No, man, I didn't think it was the same guy. No, you're right. It was five separate guys. One named Bob, one named Lance, one named Jerry, and another guy named Bob. And they're all 23, and they all have 33-year-old girlfriends, and they just wanted you to comment on that.
Right. So I thought it was informative, but still, I don't think I want to do radio. I think it's lame.
Yeah, okay, cool.
If I were you, I'd get out of it. I'd get onto TV, like that TV show you're going to do. You should do that.
All right, I'm going to... I don't know. I'm going to do something. I just got to get away from you, man. 1-800-449-8686. Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm 23.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
Joe Foss died the other day. Yeah, Joe
Foss. Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I don't know who you're talking about. No, that's okay. You don't have to know who I'm talking about. Because I'm going to tell you who I'm talking about. You will like the story of Joe Foss, Craig. Because Joe Foss was born in South Dakota. Did you ever see the start of Pearl Harbor where the kids are playing in the barn, in the airplane? Okay, that was a lot of crap, because that never happened. But some of it happened to Joe Foss. Joe would play out in the farm with his father there, and his dad would look in the sky and say, "Look, Joe, there goes the planes flying overhead." And he developed a passion for airplanes. In fact, he went and actually saw Charles Lindbergh tour the country after he crossed the Atlantic. Joe Foss's dream was to fly, but his father died. His father was electrocuted by a high-tension wire on their property, and so Joe, at the age of 18, decided he'd take over the farm. But his mother, being a great woman and a strong woman, said, "Joe, you go back to school, you get your degree. That's what your father wanted, that's what I want. You go, 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 go." So Joe went to the University of South Dakota, got his degree in business, learned to fly. And then a little thing happened, maybe you heard about it, a little thing called World War II. Joe Foss got his wings with the United States Marine Corps, shot down between October of 1942 and January of 43, 26 Japanese fighters. Single-handedly, it ties the old record set by Eddie Rickenbacker in World War I. Sounds like I'm talking about field goal attempts, doesn't it? So the 26 Jap planes ties Eddie Rickenbacker's 26 planes. In one instance, he dove at a Japanese carrier to draw fire away from the other fighters so that they could attack. In another instance, he lost his brakes and had to land at full speed. Now, if you're a pilot landing at full speed, you can well imagine the terror. He stopped it just short of a row of palm trees. In another instance, he was shot down over the Coral Sea, and he was taken in by some natives in a dugout canoe before he was rescued by the Marine Corps. And then Joe Foss left the service, and they wanted to make a movie about his life. They wanted to make a movie about his life. Like, they made a movie about Audie Murphy. Ever heard of him? He was a nut that, I say nut with the greatest of respect, he would crawl up onto tanks and drop hand grenades in them. I mean, he was a real gung-ho guy. So they wanted to make a movie about his life, and they offered him 750 G's, and he met them at the Polo Lounge here at the Beverly Hills Hotel. John Wayne was there, and the director was there, and Wayne said, "I'm going to play you," and Foss said, "Fine, but you got to get rid of all that romance crap in the script." They said, "Well, no, we got to have that to get the audience." He said, "Well, then you're not going to make any movie about my life because I don't like women." And now he didn't say that. He said, "Because I'm not going to have this baloney in my biographical film." And so they kept it out. And then later he was elected governor to South Dakota. And then in 1960, he became the commissioner of the old American Football League. And for 6 years, led the AFL through its early days until, in 1966, a merger was forced between the AFL and the NFL, and they became the AFC and the NFC. Joe Foss did that. And later on in life, he made statements like, "I think every gun is a good gun. I think the more guns, the merrier. I think everybody should own a gun." So maybe Joe was losing his mind later in his life. I don't know, but he passed on 2 days ago, and I thought I should mention that because it was quite a life. Quite a life. Joe Foss, Air Ace, AFL Commissioner, Governor of South Dakota, gun nut. Joe Foss. He was 87. Kind of makes my life seem insignificant, doesn't it? Oh, well, forget it. By the way, I failed to mention one thing about Joe Foss, and I need for you to understand that this is the most remarkable part of his life. Joe Foss was a fighter pilot. Joe Foss was a governor. Joe Foss was the commissioner of the AFL. Joe Foss was a would-be actor. Joe Foss was a giant. And yet, and here is the thing, he worked under this handicap. He was only 13 and a half inches tall. In other words, he was about a foot and 1 inch. He did all of that. They had to specially make the seats for him so he'd sit in the fighter. This guy shot down 26 Japanese fighters. And as the Japanese bailed out or were in flames heading down into the South Pacific or the North Pacific, they would look up and they'd see just a tiny little head in the window, just waving at them. One rescued Japanese fighter said he thought he was hallucinating. He thought there was no one flying the American plane that had shot him out of the sky. And then he saw just a little tiny helmet with a grin waving a little hand at him. Just this little tiny guy, size of a Barbie doll. All you could see were two hands on the yoke. That was Joe Foss. Tough, tough guy. And only 13 and a half inches tall. And I'll tell you something, he could outdrink anybody in this room. Me, Craig, Chris, Janice, doesn't matter. Guy could sit down and out put us all four under the table. Freaking beer that he drank is taller than him. Joe Foss, great man. We'll take time out now. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. The Phil Henry Show is back.
From the Las Vegas Strip, this is Joe Dickhead, NFL Picks.
And I'm the professor. And today on Joe Dickhead's NFL Picks, unfortunately, Joe is having a root canal, but that doesn't keep him off the air.
You're right, Professor. I will not stay off the air. I'll still have my picks in the National Football League this weekend. The big wild card games in the divisional finals. And I'll be getting a root canal as I give you those picks.
Joe, cheers.
Am I all right?
Yes, never before in the history of doing NFL handicapping has a man gotten a root canal and given you the picks. But today, it's going to happen. And doing the teeth drilling here is Dr. Mark Barkencroft. Mark, how are you?
I'm really good, and I just can't wait to get started.
All right, Doc, what are you going to do?
Well, get down here in the chair. Let me just take a look in there.
Ooh, look at that. Somebody's not been brushing their teeth, huh? Really? Oh, say, have you been up to Tahoe this time of year? It's really nice. I understand the skiing's great.
That's right.
Okay, let me just take the drill here.
Oh. Oh, God, cut it out.
Okay, that's it. Well, go ahead and do your picks.
All right, the first game is going to be Indianapolis and the New York Jets.
What do you like in that game, Joe?
Well, obviously, the Jets are coming out strong with height to the quarterback, and Indianapolis is glad this is running. Time is on it.
Oh.
Oh!
All right, just one more. There we go. Okay, go ahead. Who do you like? Who do you like, Joe?
Don't laugh for me, will you? Yes.
Who?
I heard it. Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. I can't understand.
Yeah, what did you say?
I heard it. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me take the tube out of your mouth, although the Novocaine may have dulled you. Now, who do you like?
I like the Novocaine.
It must be the Novocaine, Joe. Say it again.
I like the New York Jets.
You like the New York Jets?
Yeah, I like the way you take it in the game.
All right, he likes the New York Jets.
Together. All right.
Now, Atlanta and Green Bay. This will be an NFC matchup of a wild card from the Southern Division against the winner of the Northern Division of the NFC. Joe, who do you like?
Well, I think... Sorry about that. Who do you like?
I like gay guys.
You like gay guys?
I'm sorry.
I just got to get that one little back area there. Boy, there's no tooth left. Who do you like? being gay. I think he said he likes being gay. That's what I said, too. I thought he likes it.
Oh, yes, I like being gay. Yes, I like being gay. You lobsters. You dirty, filthy, stick of assholes.
You like Ben Gay? Well, here, have a little bit on your ass.
That's right. You want to give me crap?
Oh, let's just say he said Green Bay. I couldn't understand him, but he likes Atlanta Green Bay. And now a big game on Sunday, January 5th. The Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. You talk about an all-time classic matchup. Who do you like, Joe? What? All right, what did you say?
Hold on, I just got to get this one area here. I just got to eliminate three more teeth. There we go. All right, good, you have no teeth left. Go ahead.
Anyway, I think it'll be the Pittsburgh Steelers in that game. Cleveland is a pretender to the throne, but it should be a great matchup of two traditional rivals. And that leaves the... You like going around dressed like a clown?
Oh, I like a clown!
You like to pray kneeling on the ground?
No! I like to clean on clowns!
Oh, you like cleaning crowns?
I think he said he likes the Cleveland Browns.
All right, well... And the next ball game, the New York Giants at the San Francisco 49ers. Joe, how's it look? It'll be the 49ers. This has been Joe Dickhead's NFL Picks while he has a tube in his mouth getting Novocaine and having his teeth drilled. Whatever.
Well, that was pretty cool, huh? He likes being gay. He likes Green Bay. Well, here's my picks. Indianapolis at the Jets. I think the Jets will continue their exciting and winning ways and lose. No, I think it'll be the Jets. Atlanta at Green Bay. I have never picked the Atlanta Falcons in any football game, even if they were favored by 50, and I ain't going to start now, the Green Bay Packers. Now, Cleveland at Pittsburgh. That ought to be a great football game for all of those cornball friends of ours from back east who are, yeah, I remember sitting in Three Rivers with the snow coming down. I didn't have a shirt on. Yeah, yeah, sure. Cleveland and Pittsburgh's going to be fantastic. That's Sunday at 1, but you know the Steelers are going to win that football game. Easy. Giants at San Francisco. There's no way the Giants go into Candlestick or wherever they're playing these days. Are they still calling it Candle or 3Com and win that game? So it'll be the 49ers. So there you go. And if I were you, I would miss all of the dental appointments that you may have. Here's a thing that I had to mention. A Tallahassee Democrat, this guy is a newspaper reporter in Tallahassee. His name's Bill Cotterill. And apparently he was having an email exchange with some individual, and he wrote the following words. Except for Jordan and Egypt, no Arab nation has a peace treaty with Israel. They've had 54 years to get over it. They chose not to. He got fired because he wrote those words. Because somebody from something called the Council on American-Islamic Relations sent an alert to its members calling the remarks anti-Muslim and anti-Arab. You know, I realize when you're down in Tallahassee and you're kind of a traditionally redneck part of the country, you kind of got maybe overcompensate for all the years you were lynching black people or whatever you were doing down there. But you don't have to sell a guy out like that. What did he say that was so wrong? He said he thinks that the Arabs ought to get over it and they don't get over it. That's anti-Arab? The problem is the guy's working for a newspaper that can't afford attorneys. I work for a company that can, so I can say stuff like that. Nobody's going to fire me. That's the bottom line, and you have to understand this. Anytime you see a company fire a guy for saying something, no matter what it was, but especially when it's really absolutely non-controversial. There's nothing controversial about what that guy said. They got a letter from some group of towel wrappers, and they decided to fire the guy. And that means only one thing. They don't have a lawyer. They can't afford the firepower on the legal side of things. They're afraid of a slander lawsuit. They're afraid of some kind of a lawsuit. And they don't have any kind of juice when it comes to representation, so they fire the guy. And that's exactly what these guys wanted. This guy, Ibrahim Cooper, he said, yes, well, that's good. That was a good response. They fired him, and we're happy now. Well, isn't that great? You're happy. Now, the backpedaling this poor reporter had to do is really pathetic, because what he said was absolutely true. They've had 54 years to get over it. They haven't chosen to. They've decided to wage a genocidal war against Israel. You know, all the usual things that we talk about. And he also wrote the following words: I don't give a damn if Israel kills a few in collateral damage while defending itself, so be it. I feel that way, too. What's wrong with that? I don't care either. So then he went on to say he was really sorry he said what he said. My remarks were grossly inappropriate and do not reflect my views toward Muslim people. Boy, that's too bad, man, because what you said in the first place was absolutely on target. I guess you needed the job, you see? And even when you apologize, they're still going to fire you. That's something I learned years ago in this business. Don't ever apologize, because even if you do, they're still going to can you. So don't do it. Especially because you know you're going to be apologizing to try to save your gig. Well, you ain't going to save your gig. You're just going to make it worse. You're going to say, well, if you apologize, if I apologize, nah, it looks like we still got to fire you. Forget it. Don't do it. Don't ever do that. So that was the story. Now, did you say anything the least bit anti-Muslim or anti-Arab about saying, hey, they've had 54 years to get over it. Instead, they decided to strap bombs to their kids. I mean, and now they're putting rifles on their teenage sons and having them crawl across these no man's lands of barbed wire where they're sure to get killed by Israeli security. I mean, they're just sending young. I would love for them to send some of the old people across. That would be nice. Just to see if we can grease a few of those old, old, wrinkled up old Palestinian guys like whoever they got over there. Arafat, he's a good start. Why not start with him, you know, with that clown makeup that he wears and that little pistol. You ever seen a guy look more dopey? That guy walks around with a little pistol hanging off of his belt. He looks like one of my kids. He looks like he's playing cowboys and Indians. Anyway, they fired this guy down in Tallahassee because he said things that were... See, here's the thing. It's not anti-Muslim and it's not anti-Arab to say that the Arab people are being exploited and misrepresented and otherwise manhandled by their leadership. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's not anti-Muslim and it's not anti-Arab to say, oh, you know, it's too bad that a few people got killed in a war, but that's exactly what happens in a war. And I don't care. That's not anti-Arab or anti-Muslim. And it's also not anti-Arab or anti-Muslim to say, get over it, man. But he didn't. He got his ass handed to him. Well, I don't think I'll get fired for saying this. Pelton, I want that beard shaved before you come back in Monday morning. Because you look like a towel wrapper with that thing. You look like Osama bin Laden. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. And now, Phil Hendry.
Convicted child killer David Westerfield will get the lethal injection. He's getting the death penalty. That was the sentencing handed down today in San Diego. There are some who are anti-death penalty, no matter who the convicted individual. We have two of them on the line with us from San Diego. They have been down there waiting for the sentencing verdict. Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley, she's the president, and he the vice president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, a suburb of Los Angeles. They are also people who are part of an organization, Ms. Dooley, and please forgive me if I don't have the correct, what is the correct name of your organization?
So we are part of California Initiative against death penalty, and we are also against the use of lethal injection as a form of torture. We do believe in the California Coalition for the Anti-Death Penalty Initiative that has been put forth, and we put our names to that, too.
So you're anti-death penalty?
We are anti-death penalty.
Even in the case of Westerfield?
Absolutely, Phil. And the reason for that is very simple. Two wrongs don't make a right. I think as children we learned this, and it was later reinforced in Sunday school in our moral education. My husband believes, as I do, that two wrongs don't make a right, and that we have always been in favor of the work farm model for capital offenders.
Now, what is that? Is this another rehabilitation idea?
Well, along with intensive rehabilitation, yes. We believe that all convicted capital offenders should be remanded to the state for intensive day labor, study, and work with a local minister or a pastor. And we believe the road toward a rehabilitative life can begin.
All right, now let's just talk about this. The man killed a little girl. He committed murder.
Yes, I read about that, and Steve and I followed the case. But remember, Phil, he murdered the little girl. What gives the government of the United States of the America the right to murder him? You see? Okay? You see what I'm saying?
So wait a minute. So America putting David Westerfield to death is murder?
Yeah. No, but people never know what to say when I say that, because it's really interesting. Yes, he murdered the little girl. But what gives us the right to murder him?
Yes.
You know, my husband brought that up to me the other night, and I went, oh, my God. And I think it's really at the heart and soul of every argument. And that's why we're in San Diego today, and we will continue on north to the facility that they eventually incarcerate Mr. Westerfield in against the death penalty.
Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. David Westerfield has been convicted and is sentenced to death for the murder of Danielle Van Dam. I agree with that sentence. I have to tell you, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, I am very much a pro-death penalty individual because I think that it is the safest thing to do with a psychotic killer like that. Don't you agree?
We don't agree. Let me
do it. Mr. Henry, we don't agree that... Don't ever grab the phone from me.
I'll do it.
Mr. Henry, we agree that the death penalty is murder. Don't we? Isn't that what you said?
No, that's not what I said. I said the death penalty is justified.
No, then we don't agree. I thought you said you agreed with me.
I don't agree with you. I believe the death penalty, especially in the case of David Westerfield, is justified.
Well, Phil, you know people in the media are always trying to...
Let me ask you this, all right? What if this was one of your kids? Your little son? Do you have children?
I have three sons, yes.
All right. What if it was one of your kids? What would you do?
You know, that question's irrelevant. It really is. You people always do that. You always try and trick and put us in your shoes. Well, it's very old. It won't happen to my sons. I don't spend my evening hours dancing the night away with the door unlocked. I'm very involved in my boys' lives, okay? I know where they are every moment.
Wait a minute. What if your son was kidnapped and murdered by someone? Wouldn't you be in favor of the death penalty?
You know, Phil, again, I'm sorry to have to keep going down this road.
It wouldn't happen to our sons.
It wouldn't happen to our sons. I'm not out dancing away to, that's the way, I like it. I'm not trying to recapture my youth. I'm not trying to, look good for all the men in the bar. I am...
Are you intimating that that's what Danielle Van Damme's mother was doing?
No comment.
Are you into... No comment. That's what you're doing then.
I have no comment. I'm simply saying that would never happen to my sons. And there are just some things that I would have done differently. But the point is, Phil, yes, David Westerfield is guilty of murder. Yes, he deserves to be handed over to the state of California for punishment. Yes, he needs to pay for his crime. But our California Coalition for Anti-Death Penalty Initiatives believes that capital punishment is not a deterrent to murder. Is not a deterrent to murder. And if David Westerfield is put to death, then it will encourage others to commit murder.
How do you figure that?
Because it will look glamorous. Being on death row is sexy.
Okay, now wait a minute. So you're saying a guy on death row looks sexy to women, and so therefore he'll go out and commit murder to have some chick think he's hot?
Phil, absolutely. Being on death row, these guys get proposals from women. They're hounded by newspapers. There's something very sexy about a tortured man. And in my own way, I find David Westerfield to be that kind of a guy.
Don't even go there, ma'am, okay?
I'm not saying that I'd screw him. I'm saying that I find the tortured man to be interesting.
A lot of ways, Mr. Henry.
I'll do it. In a lot of ways, it's like, you know, we're making him a martyr like Saddam bin Laden or this Mr. Fat, Mr. Arafat.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. They are members of the California Coalition Against Death Penalty Initiatives, or in favor of death penalty initiatives. They do not believe that David Westerfield deserves the death penalty. Sometimes I think people like you guys get on the air to talk just to shock the rest of us or piss the rest of us off, because this guy is a cold-blooded killer that deserves the chair.
No, Phil, I'm a mother of three sons. All right, people that are in favor of the death penalty don't have children. People that are in favor...
Excuse me, I've got four.
Are they not stepchildren?
Doesn't matter. I've got four.
People that have their own biological children are not in favor of the death penalty. We value life. We value the beauty that is life. Capital punishment is murder. Cold-blooded murder. Cold-blooded, horrific...
Oh, just like what happened to Daniel Van Dam. That's what the state of California is going to do to David Westerfield.
It's very similar.
Well, you're ma'am, you denigrate and you dishonor that young girl's life. She was horribly murdered without mercy. We're extending a great deal of mercy to David Westerfield.
Have you ever been, Phil, inside of a room where a man has been executed?
No, ma'am, I have not. Have you?
Excuse me. I'm asking. I just asked. Have you ever been in a room where a man's been executed?
No.
Phil, it's horrible. They wheel the man in. He lays there on a cart, and then they tilt him up, and they make him look at everyone. It is horrible, Phil. I've seen it. I've seen it.
Yeah, have you seen a man executed?
Yes, I have.
Where?
I saw it. What was it?
The dead man walking.
Did you see dead man walking? They show what happens. I saw dead man walking.
Yeah, and a dead man walking.
Me first, then you. In dead man walking, they showed... Leo Penn or one of those Jews, I forget who, they show him being killed by Susan Sarandon. So it's really amazing.
Dead Man Walking, Susan Sarandon plays a nun, if I...
That's correct, yeah.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. You know something? A man being executed in the movies is hardly the same as seeing a man actually executed. Corey, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to make the point mm-hmm. that this woman has no clue
mm-hmm.
that other people's kids get kidnapped, too, besides just bad people that do bad things.
Because mm-hmm.
bad things
mm-hmm.
happen to good people all the time. Just because your door is locked does not mean that your kid is not going to get
mm-hmm.
kidnapped.
Well, I'm very vigilant. I'll tell you something. Anybody tries to take my kids, and there is going to be blood, and it won't be my children's.
Well, I'm sure every mother feels that way, you know.
Well, okay, so mm-hmm. it's okay for you to kill him because he killed your kid, but it's not okay for the state to kill him because he killed your kid. Where's your point?
He's not going to kill my kid. What I'm saying is, David Westerfield...
And who are you to stop him? If he takes off with your child and you cannot find your child...
No, he won't.
Who
That's
are you
saying.
To stop him?
He's not going to.
How do you know that?
Because
you are not God. You cannot...
I don't go out dancing till all hours.
You know,
that
really,
has nothing to do with somebody kidnapping your child, ma'am.
I got a problem with that whole characterizing Mrs. Van Dam.
Yeah, that...
You know, well, wait a second. Now,
bad things happen to good people all the time.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs don't make a right. And
well,
because,
if... But you're
you
saying
know, mm-hmm.
that if he kidnapped your kid
mm-hmm.
and you killed him, it would be okay.
Right.
But it wouldn't be okay for the state to kill him.
No, it would not be.
Why is it okay for you to kill him?
Because I'm
so
not.
So your murder would be right,
America.
But the state's murder wouldn't be right.
Well, because the state is...
Ma'am, you make no sense. I think you're on
no.
here just to listen to yourself talk.
No, ma'am. I am part of a
I
coalition
think you are.
Against the death penalty.
I think you need to sit back
mm-hmm.
and think about what you're saying before you make this trip to wherever you're going.
I didn't say that I'd kill the man. I said that I would disable him.
Oh.
I would
But that's not wrong.
Mm-mm.
Hurting
no.
him is not wrong, but killing him is wrong.
Absolutely. The Bible says thou shalt not kill. And if you read the Bible, it says you can't do it. So, there you go.
Yeah. And the Bible
The Bible says you are also not supposed to harm another human being either. That's not right either, hon.
No,
if you think
totally. No,
Let me tell you, if you want to get biblical with me, I can get biblical because one sin is no worse than another. No sin is worse than another.
I
All sin is sin, no matter what degree you think it is. In God's eyes, it is all the same.
Corey, I say this with a great deal of respect for you, but you're the kind of woman who wouldn't wet the sponge in the helmet. Did you see Green Mile?
I'm the kind of woman that what?
Did you ever see Green Mile?
Yes, I saw Green Mile.
Remember when they didn't wet the sponge and they burned that man's head? You'd be the person who wouldn't wet the sponge.
Oh, will you? Come on.
Oh, my God.
No, it sounds you that know, way. It sounds to me like you just enjoy seeing people cook. Cook?
No,
like
I don't. But let me tell you, if somebody killed my kid and the state sentenced him to death, I would be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question? Are you guys out in front of the courthouse now?
Yes, we are.
Well, I can hear your husband on a bullhorn or something, so if he could move away.
I'm sorry, move away. What were you saying? Well, I don't know. All I'm saying is that the government of the United States of the United States of America, if he killed my kid, I'd let my very large and very, very physical Great Dane at him. And boy, would Buddy the dog have a time with him.
Oh, so you would let your dog kill him? So you'd let your dog kill him?
No,
you won't let the state
kill
him.
Anyone. My dog wouldn't kill anyone. Buddy is a wonderful animal, but he knows right where to bite. He knows
well,
exactly which
I'm,
parts of
I'm
the body
to I'm happy for your dog, but ma'am, I really think you have no clue.
Well, I
you haven't
think that,
thought this out.
I have thought it out completely. We are down in San Diego. We are asking all mothers, especially mothers who love their children, please come with us. Don't let David Van Damme, David Westerfield get be made dead. listen to you laughing at death. Isn't that wonderful?
No.
Isn't
I'm laughing
funny?
At you, hon. I'm not laughing at him dying. You know, I
Look,
me
Mrs.
myself,
Dahmer.
I pray that the man knows
Mrs.
the Lord
Dahmer.
And that he is right
Don't
with his life. I mean, he's got problems,
Dahmer,
but if he killed my kid, I'd say more power to the state.
Well, Mrs. Dahmer,
okay, we've heard the Mrs. Dahmer crack. Listen, thank you very much, Corey. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't do it. Don't hurt anybody.
What is that with that bullhorn? You got to get that out of here. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley. They are anti-death penalty, even in the case of David Westerfield. You know, I'm finding it very interesting because I'm the same way. I used to be anti-death penalty. And then I guess I got a family. You know, I got a family. And the violence got out of control for me. It just got out of control. And I realized that there was nothing you could do with a sociopath but kill them because we hadn't reached a point in the development of our society whereby...
Are you going to talk or are you going
to... This is my show.
Well, you know, why are we on?
1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hello?
Yes, Phil, right here.
Out in front of the courthouse in San Diego, Bobby and Steve Dooley, they are against the death penalty for David Westerfield. The man's a child killer, he's a child murderer, he is a child molester, he is unrepentant, he showed no emotion. We're not talking about rehabilitating a guy here, we're not talking about giving him, you know, deterring other people from committing murder. We're simply talking about taking somebody who is never going to be rehabilitated and putting him to death where he belongs.
Well, that was really impressive.
Real good, Mr. Henry.
Very impressive. Very
okay, so you're being sarcastic?
No, really, that was really great. You know something, Phil? When people like you in the media get up on your soapbox, it's really, really kind of gag me a little bit. You know, it gags me because the hypocrisy is just so amazing. You don't favor you're in favor of the death penalty for David Westerfield, and yet you didn't favor the death penalty for O.J. Simpson.
Whoever said I didn't favor the death penalty for O.J. Simpson?
Well, a lot of people didn't. They thought he was guilty, but they wanted him to be on a work farm. And I think that's racist. I think...
What work farm? O.J. Simpson?
Yes. A lot of people wanted him to be on a chain gang in Alabama. And I think it's racist, and I would much rather see him put to death. That's how I feel about it.
Lady, you know, the other lady was right. I don't think you know. I don't think you hear yourself. Sue, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, ma'am. Fine, ma'am.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, ma'am, I just want to say something. Apparently you don't know God's word too well, or you wouldn't be making these comments, because God's word plainly states.
I go to church.
It doesn't matter about church. It's about
God
what he
said. Two wrongs
we are bound by God's law and by the laws of the land.
Two words. Jesus Christ, he was suffered from capital punishment. Jesus suffered from capital punishment.
Very true.
And I
he can ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive him.
But they were wrong.
But the laws of the land still have to do their punishment. And ma'am, I have a daughter that was molested.
Well,
and I am telling you now.
How do I know you're telling me the truth?
Okay. I understand a lot of what you're saying, but you're not realizing what you're really saying. This doesn't have anything to do with O.J. Simpson or me or any commentator on the radio. It has to do with David Westerfield. And you know what God's word says about children?
Yes,
forbid them not to come unto me. Well, this man took her life.
After dark.
This man took her life. And he
killed
apparently
her.
Was stalking that family. You ever been stalked?
Well,
I was.
Yes, I was stalked by my husband before I married him.
Well, you shouldn't have married him.
No, it's been glorious.
And not unless he's become a child of God and ask for forgiveness.
You know, your daughter was molested. You should learn to control yourself.
I am
because
controlling
myself,
ma'am.
On.
It's about what God's word says, not about what we want.
Now, were you out dancing the night away when she got molested?
It doesn't have anything about her mother dancing. This has to do with a man taking the life of an innocent child.
Well, I think, Sue, that...
See, there's two colors.
David, two
there's
colors.
There's two colors to life.
What's that?
There's a right and there's a wrong. And God's word states,
that's not a color.
You can't straddle the fence. It's either right or it's wrong.
Right, and it's wrong. It's wrong to kill a child, and it's wrong to kill David Westerfield.
David Westerfield knew better. Westerfield knew better than to do what he did.
If we walked out and we got hit by a car, maybe that's okay.
You can't put a 7-year-old girl up next to a 50-year-old man. You can't do that.
Right, and the other thing that we're missing here, Bobby.
Listen to the big talk show host that's going to lecture me now. I've been ganged up on by all sides, and now you're going to lecture me.
I'm not lecturing you. I'm just going to say that this is a safety issue. This is a guy that can't be let out on the street. This guy's a time bomb, and he went off, and he killed a little girl. And an individual like this, we have no way to treat.
I think the work farm model is wonderful. And if you're calling from the South, Sue, you know what I mean.
Okay, can
6 months on a work farm.
About a friend of mine
in Louisiana, someplace like that.
About a friend of mine that was murdered by a man
who
had raped
people, molested and murdered.
You're
still walking around? I don't get it.
They let him out.
Uh-huh.
And 3 months later, he murdered a friend of mine on her way to visit her son who had had an accident in the hospital in another town in Arkansas.
You know something? So you're bad luck
for a lot of people.
He went
in to buy a gift. He was watching her. He abducted her.
Can
and they found her murdered
the
with her own gun by this man who had
the
already
Phil
been in prison
Show,
by raping a 16-year-old. I'm telling you now.
Out of bounds.
We don't have...
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I can't do that.
Well, Mr. Henry, we are...
Well, we're back, and I got to tell everybody who we're talking to. Bobby and Steve Dooley with the California Initiative against the Death Penalty. You are against David Westerfield getting the death penalty for this horrific crime, this horrific murder of Daniel Van Dam. And we think...
Mr. Henry, we think it is an abuse of your office as a talk show host to continually use the words horrific. We think it prejudices the case against Mr. Westerfield.
It was horrific. You can only call it horrific.
But to say it on the air, to say it in a public forum like a radio show, it is wrong. And I would ask you again to stop using the word horrific in describing the actions of Mr. Westerfield and to not allow any of your callers to do that.
You mean if my callers call up and want to use the word horrific in describing that murder, that poor child, they will. I'm not going to stop them.
Then I think you are exercising a really undue influence as a talk show host. You have no right. Now, we are against the death penalty. You know why we called your program. We know that you can get us in to the execution. We want a block of 6 seats so that the anti-death penalty movement can be represented. We want the tickets.
Steve going in.
We want the tickets. Give us the tickets.
We are going to be out in front of the courthouse.
Give us the tickets.
Today, until you or other members of the media can get us into the execution chamber.
Give us the tickets. Give us tickets.
All right.
I don't have any ability to get you guys into the David Westerfield execution. And I'll tell you something else. Even if I did...
Well, let me guess. Even if you did, you would...
That's right. I wouldn't, because I wouldn't want that family bothered by you. I think if members of the Van Damme family are going to be there, I think...
Oh, so they can enjoy the execution, Mr. Henry? Is that it? So they can enjoy...
No, not enjoy. So they can have a little bit of justice. And beyond that, the fact of the matter is, this guy isn't going to be executed for 20-plus years. This guy's going to go through 20 years of appeals. So where? There. Doesn't that make you feel better?
I think it's really funny to watch all of you pro-death penalty people have to twist while Mr. Westerfield gets his due process. But I think someone has to be there to make sure the sponge is wet. And I think,
what do you mean the sponge is wet? The sponge is wet? That's in the Green Mile. Where
what were you going to say? 3 Mile
Do it. What were you going to say? 3 Mile Island? God.
Give us the tickets.
Mr. Henry, what I'm saying is...
Are the two of you stupid? Are the two of you just hanging around in front of the courthouse there just to get your giggles?
No. We are... Steve and I want the tickets so we can watch the execution with, you know, with a nice bucket and an 86 Berlot.
Look at the chicken.
You're both nuts. 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 Nuts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really. They don't wet a sponge, it's lethal injection.
They don't wet a sponge, it's lethal injection. When did you find out about that?
When did I find out about that? When I found out that California was a lethal injection state.
California's a lethal injection state.
Nobody told me.
But me, you jackass. Why doesn't the public know?
The public does know.
The public does know.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So they don't do the sponge?
No.
He says they don't do the sponge.
Give us tickets. Give out.
Oh, it's... All right. All right, Phil, I'm sorry. I thought...
Yeah, you're not going to go up and make sure the sponge is wet. Westerfield's going down. He's going to cook. May not be in my lifetime, but he'll cook.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 50.
So you'll be 70 when he cooks.
Yeah, well...
Oh, well, you work so hard, you're going to have a heart attack before then?
I just don't know, okay? I don't know how long I'll last on this planet.
Give us the tickets.
Oh, shut up. Okay, there you go. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, you should come down here and try the hot dogs from the cart outside the courthouse. They are to die for. Uh-oh.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I just saw in the news where some agency said that the polar ice sheet, or the Antarctic ice sheet, I forget which, either the North Pole or the South Pole, may melt in 7K, what I thought were 7K years, and thus the sea level would rise some 16 feet. And I said to Craig, well, 7K, what is that? He said 7,000. So if it melts in 7,000 years, who cares? If it's going to melt in 70 years, I care. Don't you? I don't care if it melts in 7,000 years. In 7,000 years, we're not going to be here anymore. We'll have colonized another planet. That's what they tell me. I've seen that on Minority Report or whatever that other movie was. AI. All right, here's a flashback. Steve Bozell. He is a construction contractor from Corona, California. He is very concerned about a war with Iraq. He thinks that there is no need for a war with Iraq. The president has not shown any proof that there is a nuclear program in Iraq. The president is saber-rattling against Korea as well. He thinks it's possible Bush is drinking again.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Do you know what could happen to you if the Iraqis come over here?
They're not coming over here. I'm not remotely worried about them coming over here.
All right.
Right.
If they don't have nuclear weapons, if that's the issue here, that they don't have the weapons, then why is everyone afraid of them beating us? We have them. We know we have them.
Well, yeah, but do they have weapons of nuclear destruction? We don't know.
Do they?
Because I don't know.
Your point of view seems to be that
Bush
they don't.
Bush won't even come and tell us. He just wants to take some guys and put them into a meat grinder over there, and I'm scared.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you're scared. You've said you're scared.
Well, at least this lady, she's not even saying she's scared.
I'm frightened, too, and I'm afraid when I take my children to Disney World,
someone's going to come and
crash a plane again into the middle of Disney World. And then I take my children on an airplane. If I take my children on an airplane from New York City to Virginia, I'm afraid that someone's going to come and put the bomb on
them
and blow them up.
Thanks for giving them the idea of crashing a plane into Disney World. Nice going, Judy.
If I had said five years ago crashing a plane into the World Trade Center, you would have been crazy.
Judy just gave you a great idea. Crash a plane into Disney World. Nice going, Judy. I'm sure everybody's just happy you opened your big mouth today.
Well, you're the guy that's...
I didn't know anything to that.
Look, at you guys are the... You're the one that's saying...
Let's just say thanks to Judy Bin Laden for giving them...
I got it already.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Judy Bin Laden. Here it is. Antarctic ice sheet may melt in 7,000 years. A natural cycle of thawing may cause an Antarctic ice sheet as big as Texas and Colorado combined to melt away in 7,000 years, possibly causing a worldwide sea level rise of about 16 feet, according to new research. In a study appearing Friday in the journal Science, researchers say that geochemical measurements of when mountainside rocks first became free of ice near the South Pole show that the West Antarctic ice sheet began melting about 10,000 years ago and is still shrinking. God, and I was worried. Because I didn't know what 7K meant. I'm an idiot, sitting here going, now wait, I know K, I don't know what that means. What's 7K? 7,000. Well, why am I worried about that? In 7,000 years, it'll be like that movie Waterworld. 1-800-449-8686. RC, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, great show as always.
Thanks.
I was just going to say, you took the words out of my mouth. That's just like in the movie Waterworld. In it, Kevin Costner has a gill and a fin and stuff.
Because of the what? Because of the water?
Yeah, because the world evolved into a large, into water. That's why they call it the water world.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's 7,000 years is 7,000 years. Why are we worrying about it right now?
It really is funny, but they'll report on anything if it's a slow news day. Say, listen, Mr. Henry, let me ask you this. If you could, would you have gills?
If I could, would I have what?
Would you have gills?
Like a fish?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
What do I want gills for? I don't need them. I can breathe the air.
No, but I mean if it was Waterworld.
Well, then I guess I would want gills, yeah. I don't know if I'd want to live in Waterworld. I'd probably try to kill myself. I'd probably try to...
Drown yourself?
Yeah.
Well, but you couldn't.
Why not?
You'd have gills.
I don't want gills. I don't want gills.
Well, then you could drown yourself.
Right. Before I got the gills, I'd go out and drown myself. If I had gills, I couldn't drown myself.
What would you do?
I guess I'd beach myself. What do you mean if I could have gills? Hey, do me a favor, will you, Chris? No more calls for, say, the rest of the year. 1-800-449-8686. Having said that, let me just give our number out. 1-800-449-8686. If I had gills, would I try to drown myself? Hey, don't forget the Phil Hendry Show CD. The best of Phil Hendry Show CD, world famous, is available now, our 2002 CD. And man, it's selling like crazy. The generosity of you folks is unsurpassed. 877-616-7445 is the number to call to get our CD. All of the money goes to my friend's place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Kids that come here from all over the country, all over the planet. And they settle down onto the streets of Hollywood, and man, the next thing you know, it ain't too cool. So the money goes to help my friend's place, which is a tremendous, tremendous place for them to access for help. And if you'd like to help out, go to our website, PhilHendryShow.com, order the CD online, or call that number, 877-616-7445. That number is 877-616-7445. Well, all's well that ends well. I remember telling you Oh, that's great. Thank you, Chris, for that information. We've raised about $40,000 so far with the sale of the CD. That's fantastic. And it's only been out, what? I mean, like 3 weeks. 3 weeks. That's tremendous. I told you about one of the kids getting a little speeding ticket a few weeks ago. Well, all's well that ends well. He went to court. The judge said, no problem. Go ahead and speed. Case dismissed. No, he said, he basically, I think what happened was he got fined and he reduced it from street racing to speeding because it initially was a misdemeanor and they knocked it down to speeding because the kid's a great kid. He's a great kid. He didn't mouth off to the cop. See, here's what I always tell the kids. If you mouth off to a cop, you look like a big shot in front of your friends, but then you got the ticket, you got the court hassle, and most probably you got a heavier fine than you ordinarily would have. Coppers don't like it. You ain't going to win. You're not going to impress anybody. You're going to wind up getting a bigger fine or more jail time because the judge looks at that and he goes, oh, a big mouth, huh? Well, guess what? 30 days. Just like that. Unless you like going to jail. So I tell the kids, just play it cool with these cops. You ain't going to win an argument with them. The only guys that ever really argue with cops actually are older women and drunks. Those are the only people that really kind of get up into a cop's face. Drunks who will tell you that they're not drunk, and old ladies who, well, I wasn't driving at an excessive speed. Yes, and you also drove over six people. They're all dead. Well, I didn't. Where? Well, they're stuck up underneath your car right now. Yeah, they're shoved up into the grill and they're jammed into a muffler. But other than that, I think, you know, you're a pretty good driver.
Well, you're going to have to prove it.
No. So he got off, and it's pretty cool. Everything's solid. He was nervous as hell, though. But I told him, I said, dude, you go into that courtroom, keep your big fat mouth shut, let the lawyer talk. Now, I was totally against this. I was against hiring an attorney. Now, this was a very good lawyer, low-key, female attorney. And the reason why I say female attorney is I do think there's a difference to a judge if it's a female or a male. And especially if it's a young person's case, I think it makes a difference to a judge if it's a female or a male. I think if you see a young person standing in juvenile court, I think a judge almost likes to see a female attorney. I know, you think that it shouldn't make any difference, but it does. Anyway, she took over, and really what Maria wanted to do is she wanted to have it knocked down from racing, which he swears he wasn't doing, to speeding, which he acknowledges that he was doing. And I said, look, don't play cute. Look it. The kid, he's got to learn that you got to pay for your mistakes. If you get a lawyer, he's going to learn how to work the system, how to play the system. You know? Look at it. It was racing, speeding. I'll tell you what, two car lengths apart going 81 miles an hour up Canaan, that sounds like racing to me. And the cop said it was racing. And I don't know. But I don't think at this particular point, It's a good lesson for him to learn, hey, get yourself a lawyer, work the system, and maybe you get it reduced. You know what I'm saying? I just stand there, stand tall. By the way, who was winning that race? I'd like to know. If he was winning, then I'd say go ahead and hire a lawyer. It was a Camaro versus a Honda, so, yeah, the Camaro was winning only by two car lengths. But I said, I'm not in favor of that, you know? Now, maybe that's the man in me. But I think the kid ought to stand there, take it. It ain't going to be anything heavy. They're going to give him some probation. They're going to, you know, lay it on him a little bit. And he stays cool. By the time he's 18, everything's expunged anyway. But, you know, my wife won that one. And it was actually good because she did. The attorney went in there and got it knocked down from racing to speeding. But am I wrong, you know? I just, a lot of these old-fashioned things start kicking in. The longer I've lived, still, I'll tell you what, and I don't want to say, you know, that I had bad parenting, but I was in juvenile court a lot. But anyway, and I didn't go with my mother. She would write notes. Dear judge, whatever he did, he's sorry for. Thank you. And my mom would sign it, and I'd go in with the thing. And in the juvie court, in those days, you didn't really go into a court. You sat down across from a judge at a desk, and he'd say, okay, what's your problem? Nothing, Your Honor. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm 16. All right, fine. Or whatever we were doing. Now, was that good for me? I think it was. Because look at me today. Never mind. So anyway, he's fine and he's home. And I just thought I'd give you guys the update on that one. man. The lawyer was only five bills, too. You can, you know. But there were other kids in the court for this kind of stuff. This one kid got the book thrown at him because he mouthed off to the cops. So they gave him everything, man. Suspended sentence, 2 years probation, suspended license, 2 years probation. So the guy's got no license till he's 18. Why? Because he was trying to be a big shot. The cop made note of it in his report. The judge looked at it. See you later, license. Oh, yeah, that's smart, man. Real smart. Somebody else was in there for possessing like a half ounce of weed, and there are all kinds of public defense. Craig, I said that. Craig shrugs his shoulder. Well, that's not such a big thing. When's the last time you were in jail? Other than that time you were on work release when I first started using you on my show. I know, you've never been arrested. That's great. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. If you missed our webcast last, when was our webcast? 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago tonight. 2 weeks ago today was our webcast. I'll tell you what, it's archived. Just go to philhenryshow.com. Check it out, our show prep and our webcast 2 Fridays ago. It's on streaming video. It's a beautiful thing. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer.
That I am gay and I have that right.
I know you have the right. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger, who is an entertainment writer with the Orange County Courier, is with us. You have sold a reality TV show idea. Tell us about it.
We're very excited about it, Phil. A consortium of other producers and myself have approached a major network, and we have sold a pilot, and we have been picked up for 6 episodes coming up next fall.
Tell us about what is the show?
It is a reality show, Phil, and we thought it would be interesting to show the obvious longing that kids in public schools have to be in a private school and the longing that the parents of children in public schools have to put their kids into a private school. So what we did is we took a kid out of the public school system and we followed him with our cameras as he struggles to adjust to a private school. Now, all of this was filmed in the South Pasadena and Glendale area of California at Bellamar Academy, which is the private school, and Long Branch, which is a public school. And
so this was a student taken from Long Branch and put into Bellamar Academy.
That is correct. Now, it's obvious from the beginning, one of the reasons why public school kids want to go to private school and why their parents would love to have them there is these kids have really struggle, I think, to make the grade in a private school. They belong in a public school because their academics and their ability to assimilate into a higher echelon isn't there. So we knew the kid was going to fail, but we thought it would be interesting to follow him and to see how he dealt with his failure. Was he going to accept it gracefully? Was he going to recognize that the kids in the private school had a higher academic ability than he did and that public school kids can't compete with a private school kid? Or would he get a little tense? Now, something happened, Phil, back in 99, I should say, that probably you heard about it, kind of a little thing, maybe you heard about it, called Columbine.
Of course.
All right. Now, a lot of these kids that can't assimilate, they go off the deep end. Now, I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist. I have been out for the last 8 months, so I've dealt with both sides of the issue of honesty and the issue of investigative journalism. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I can say this is going to be a hit series.
All right. The show is called Private School, and it follows a public school kid as he goes through a private school and ultimately fails. Is that right?
I don't want to tell you. Of course he's going to fail, but how is he going to accept his failure?
All right, so what's the challenge for the kid?
Public school kid?
Yeah, there's a public school kid who goes to a private school because he wants to go there and because his parents want him to go there.
Most public school parents do want their kids to go private, but they can't afford it, or the kid is stupid, or I don't know. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and as a gay man and a gay journalist, I was looking at the public versus private school situation. The kid comes from a public school. See, they're not going to be challenged in a public school. Public school kids are allowed to, slack off. There's drug use. This means the kids don't really learn anything. The challenge, Phil, is can he make it through a whole school year in a private school without coming unglued emotionally, or can he make it through the school year and tough it out and fail with dignity and with his chin up?
Wow, and you don't want to tell me how it comes out.
No, I'm not going to, Phil, but I can say something right now. It's going to be on a major network. I have been told we can't announce which network right now. Next fall, watch as this kid, this public school kid, and his parents get all excited about the fact we say to them, and this is the good part, we say to them, your kid will get to go to a private school, and if he can make the grade, we will pay his way through a private school, secondary school, and they get all excited. It's pretty funny to watch how excited they get, because they don't really recognize yet that because he's a public school kid, there's no way. There's no way.
Well, wait a minute. What, are you laughing at these people?
I'm sorry?
You say it's kind of funny to watch the parents and the kid get excited that they're going to go to a private school, and you think, why is it funny?
Well, it's funny because they think the kid has actually got a shot at academically making it in a private school.
Well, what's funny about that?
Well, I mean, you're painting me as a bad guy here.
No, what's funny about that?
What's funny about it is that no public school kid's going to make it in a private school. Even if he could make it academically, he's not going to make it socially. See, it's like going to Disneyland for these people. Everything's all shiny and new, and once they get in there, it's suddenly just, it's scary. So that's kind of funny. The viewers can have some fun laughing at these people and seeing how naive they are and how kind of stupid they look. And then we watch this kid and we follow him through the process of going to the private school, looking a little, doesn't quite have the fashion that the private school kids have, isn't quite as quick with the answers in class. Doesn't know how to eat, doesn't know how to conduct himself socially, can't be around these really upper-crust girls who are, this is USDA, I'd say this, these are high school girls, I'd say this with all due respect, but it is USDA prime. I missed some good fresh meat there, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so there's nothing sexist about what I'm saying, but as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I can tell you these girls are really good-looking.
All right, we're talking to Doug Danger about his new reality TV series called Private School, where a public school kid is allowed to enter a private school. He's told, his parents are told, that his private school education will be paid for. It's a private high school. And the TV series will follow him as he ultimately fails. But can he fail with dignity, or does it go Columbine? Or what do you think, the guy is going to start shooting people?
No, I don't think so, Phil. We're not going to allow it to get that bad. But will he get confrontational? Will he get violent? And we don't let the viewers know, just exactly where are we going to, are we going to jump in time? Or is he going to come to school someday with a gun?
Well, you can't allow any violence.
Of course we can't allow any violence, but it is interesting to see what took place before some guy goes Columbine.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Among a lot of the things you're saying, Doug, is that it's the fun dream of public school parents to send their kids to a private school, which may be the truth, and that private school is what a public school kid desires as well. And that may also be the truth. But the contention that they will only fail?
Well, what about it?
Your entire TV show is based on that.
No, private school is a place that only very well-off kids who are academically achieved can make it. A public school kid is not going to do that. One of the things that we think is great is teenagers are very entertaining. I know I don't want to see a teenager suffer, but they do it anyway. And I don't know if you've ever seen these teenagers. They get all heartbroken and, some pimply-faced cheerleader dumped them. They get mad because somebody doesn't talk to them. I mean, it's really interesting and it's fun to watch and take into consideration this Columbine deal. It can be explosive.
But you don't want it to get explosive.
No, we don't. But I'm saying teenagers are really funny to look at. They get all intense and upset about stuff. They use drugs or they drink too much. And why? Why do they use drugs and why do they drink too much? Because their face broke out. Because their hair doesn't look right. I mean, you talk about people taking things and just blowing them way out of proportion. Now, this kid that we're going to have on the program, he won't make any team. He's not going to be asked to join any club because of his public school background, and this is going to put pressure on him. And in turn, the entertainment value goes up.
All right, as far as I can tell, Doug, and I, you know, I've known you for a long time. You're an entertainment writer. This program is designed, this television show, this reality show is designed to humiliate some kid.
Phil, I think you've got it all wrong.
Well, I mean, you're saying it's really entertaining to see this private, this public school kid, you know, fail in private school. It's really funny to watch the parents get all excited about him going to a private school.
Well, it is. I think at any time you see a public school parent get all gleeful and go, ooh, my boy's going to a private school, I mean, you got to laugh. You laugh yourself till you urinate because you know there isn't a snowball's chance in hell that that kid's going to make it through a semester.
All right, the show's called Private School, and the idea is to see how a public school kid does his best in a private school, even though he's going to fail.
That's correct.
And will he get violent, or will he deal with it like a man?
That is also correct, but it's not going to get violent, or maybe it will, see?
Well, I know you can't let it get violent.
You're right. Legally, I can't allow it to get violent, but who knows what will happen? Who knows what we'll have to edit out?
Doug, are you hoping for a Columbine?
No, I most certainly am not, Phil. I think that's unfair of you to say that.
Well, you're making it sound like, let's take a kid, let's put him into a school, let's pressure him, and pressure him.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of different things. Girls are not going to go out with him. Teams are not going to allow him to be on the team. He'll be snubbed by the higher echelon, the in cliques on campus. The jocks are going to snub him. He'll be made fun of. Absolutely, Phil, it's going to happen. Kids will give him wedgies. Kids are going to come up and pull his underwear up. He'll be pushed and pushed and pushed right up to that edge. And the show is going to be fascinating in seeing how this kid deals with the fact that he's pushed and prodded and poked and bullied. And will he turn violent? Will he or will he take it like a man? And
I wouldn't ask any kid to go through that.
Okay, here we go with the speech.
No, wait a minute. I would not ask any kid to...
No, Phil, you misunderstand the program.
You're pushing and prodding. Even the kid is volunteering for this. You push, you prod, you bug, all the way up to the point where the kid does what? He picks up a gun and brings it to school?
We are not going to let that happen. It's just entertaining to see a kid...
Get bullied.
No, to see if the kid breaks or if the kid is able to take it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tina, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Tina.
Oh, my gosh. This guy's such an idiot. How can he think that watching a young person, a kid, fail, how can he think that's entertaining?
Well, Tina, this is Doug Danger. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've worked in the journalism field for the last 15 years. I'm gay. All right. Okay.
You should know how difficult it is already to go for school.
Absolutely.
Just in general.
Absolutely. It is difficult. But that's why if I had to be pushed around, I'd like to see how other people deal with it.
I cannot even believe a parent would allow their kid to be done this way.
Well, it ultimately, you know, see, we do pay them a handsome amount of money.
How much is the family getting?
$250,000.
So they're going to have
their
kid...
to humiliate their kid.
No, ma'am. All we're doing is we're seeing how well this kid can deal with not being accepted at a private school. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so my view of how people are is a lot better than most straight people's. So I can tell the kid's going to be fine.
Well, have you already filmed it?
Yes, we have.
Okay, what happens?
I'm not saying.
Wow.
I can say this much, though. It's going to be a lot of fun watching this kid each day going to school. It's like running a gauntlet.
Oh, my gosh. No fun at all to watch somebody fail.
Does he fail with dignity, or does he get a gun and bring it to school?
Oh, come on.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the challenge.
That is the craziest thing I have ever heard.
Well, ma'am, here's the thing. You know teenagers are pretty out there anyway, right? And teenagers, man, they'll pick up a gun, they'll pick up a machete. You don't know what they're going to do. Or they could offer to mow the lawn and do the laundry. They're way out there because of the hormone thing. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and because of that, I've had to suffer a lot of discrimination, so I know what I'm talking about. People are going to watch this kid get the crap kicked out of him if, for instance, he and his family had the chance to win the big bucks, but will he do it with dignity?
So let's see.
Oh,
that's like telling a guy, take a bite out of this crap sandwich, and if you spit it out, you don't win the money.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, thanks, Tina. Thank you.
1-800-449-8686.
It's like taking a bite out of a big dude sandwich, and we all got to take a bite, Phil, because that's life. That is life, and that's what private school is going to teach everybody. That's life. You go into life. You're born. All you do is take crap from the minute you come out of the womb until the minute they park you in a box and stick you in the ground. All you do is get your nads kicked in, your face punched in. You get thrown out of moving cars. Do you do it with dignity, or do you pick up a gun? That's what private school is all about.
You think that's what life is?
Hey, I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist.
I know you're gay.
But that, I know what life's about.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Doug Dang. The new show is called Private School, where a young person, a teenager, is put from a public school into a private school, and we watch as he is abused by the upper echelon rich kids. Does he do it with dignity, or does he pick up a gun, as Doug says? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Now, I understand, Doug, you're at the Belmar Mall right now.
We're in the Belmar Arcade.
Now, what are you doing in a video arcade?
Video arcades are interesting, Phil. This is the only place where you're going to really find public school kids or kids that are economically challenged, because most of the kids who are rich or well-off have their own PlayStation 2s. So we're in a... public school kids go to arcades, and we're...
Looking for what? Kids will be on the episode next year?
Kids who would be interested. Our crew is here. To see who we can get to possibly audition. We auditioned some 10 kids, probably this weekend auditioned some 10 kids for the part of the kid. But there are a lot of different things we're going to do on our show, Phil.
Well, let me just get everybody up to speed. We're talking with Doug Danger. He's the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. The new TV show he's producing is called Private School, where a public school kid is allowed to go to a private school, and he fails, but will he fail with dignity, or will he get a gun, is the way you put it.
Well, it's because of the Columbine thing, but no, we're not threatening violence to anybody.
Well, and you got other plans. For instance, what was this one plan you had for the kid?
I'm sorry, Phil.
Well, you say you use invisible ink?
We use invisible ink. He does his homework with a pen that has invisible ink in it, so the ink fades.
So he turns in homework that he worked on and that fades away?
Yes. That's true that we are trying to emotionally give him these digs, but we want to see how he handles these things. We switch his lunch out. He thinks he's getting roast beef. He gets to school. He opens up the sandwich, and he's got liverwurst, or he's got some braunschweig or something like that. In one episode, which I think personally is very funny, we have a member of our crew dress up as a young lady. He's rather convincing as a young lady. Our teenager asks this crew member out, thinking he's asking out a girl, and he pulls his pants down and shows him that he has a penis. We don't show that, obviously. We pixelate the screen. It's funny to see how kids will react.
I don't know, man. It seems a little cruel to me.
Well, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so please don't tell me that you think you know what cruel is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Kathy. Hi, Kathy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. Thank you for putting me on.
Yes, ma'am.
I have this to say. I am so appalled by this man's production. How on earth can you sit there and say, I am going to promote child abuse?
Wait a minute. Child abuse is when you smack a kid around and...
No, there is more than one kind of abuse. And let me tell you, when you have to live with somebody who has abused you mentally for years and years because someone else wants to get their jollies off of you, that is really pathetic.
What are we doing that's so abusive? What are we doing?
Well, are you doing? You just got through saying that he may get a gun. You have no idea what's going to happen.
No,
you are putting this kid through so much emotional abuse. It is unreal.
No, but then we explain to him that...
No, you don't explain really squat to the poor boy. This is unreal.
Ma'am,
you are trying to make money off of this poor child.
What is this episode where you cut a hole in his pants so he's walking around school with his rear end showing?
Right. In one episode, we cut two holes in the back of his pants.
Do you know what it's like to be a teenager? I mean,
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
Oh, you keep saying that, and that is just an excuse for you to be a child abuser.
No, ma'am. I've suffered abuse, okay? And let me tell you,
I have suffered my own abuse, let me tell you.
But I don't go around terrorizing children, and I don't go around abusing them for my joy.
Because
your mom didn't let you watch Crusader Rabbit one
day. No, I'm sorry. My mother didn't even raise me, dear.
Well, then why do you call that abuse?
I call it abuse because you are mentally abusing this boy.
I tell you what, Kathy, for about $250,000, I bet you I could forget all that abuse, because that's what we're giving this boy's parents, and money heals all wounds.
Well, you know what? I am very appalled that his parents are even letting him go through this.
All of you
should be ashamed of yourselves.
One episode where while he's out at gym class, we've got a drunk homeless guy urinate on his clothes in the gym locker, and then he has to determine...
That's not funny.
That gives society such a terrible name.
Give what a terrible name?
Give society a terrible name. Because
I can't believe you.
I cannot believe you. That you are trying to justify what you're doing because you're a gay man?
I'm a gay man. Yeah, Kathy, $250,000. There's your society. Money does not buy happiness.
Money cannot fix everything, buddy.
All right. Kathy, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. The show is called Private School. A young boy is taken from the public school system, put into a private school, and then is basically taunted on his way to failing. Does he accept it with dignity? Does he accept it like a man? Or does he get violent or angry? 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
With Doug Danger, the new show, a reality TV show called Private School. I'm not really in favor of a lot of these shows. This show follows a young student from a public school as he tries to make it in a private school. Ultimately, the kid fails, and the challenge, according to the show advertising, is will he fail gracefully or will he fail violently?
Philip, I wanted to mention an episode that will be coming up next fall. It is an exciting, exciting episode, and I think it says a lot about what our show is about. Even though you think this is some kind of an abusive program, I think this is a program that shows the strength of a kid. And I don't think you've been looking at the other side of this.
The strength of this boy that you're humiliating.
We are not humiliating him. We are showing the world what a strong boy he is. Now, we have a formal dance at the high school. At least he thinks it's a formal dance. Or excuse me, he thinks it's a luau, but it's actually a formal dance.
All right, now wait a minute. The kid is told...
The young man's told it's a luau, Hawaii luau.
All right.
And it's actually a formal dance. Well, you can imagine how funny it is to see him walk in wearing some Hawaiian shorts and a big straw hat and a flower lei around his neck, and everybody's there in a tuxedos and formal gowns, and the people start... I mean, it really is a scream. And
well, okay, so isn't it funny to humiliate the kid?
No, it's funny. Hold on, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I know you're gay, but you humiliate this kid.
I've been humiliated. Do you know I'm gay?
What?
You know I'm gay, right?
Yes, I know you're gay.
All right. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, I can tell you, this teaches somebody strength. So, and it really is funny. I mean, it's a scream to see this kid looking stupid walking in there in this luau thing. So he runs out, gets in his father's car. Now, our camera crew is following him. He gets home, unlocks his father's gun case.
Oh, come on, Doug.
No, but listen to this. He had the barrel of a Walther PK in his mouth for about 3 seconds.
Okay, now you're stepping over the line. If that boy was threatened...
He didn't do it, though. That's the point I'm trying to make. He did not do it. And in that episode, we see the strength of this boy.
And what if he'd pulled the trigger? Were you guys ready to run and tell him, hey, it's all a big joke, you're on private school?
Yes, we were.
How do you know if he's going to pull the trigger?
First of all, we have a macro lens that can see the tension in his finger. If I had seen that tension increase, I would have sent in our assistant director.
Are you trying to tell me that you were going to see if the tension in the figure increased, you're going to run the guy in there and stop him?
Yes.
I don't think you can do that.
Phil, I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist.
I know about you being gay, man. How does that the least bit put me at rest about what you know about guns?
I'll tell you, Phil, that episode just bumped the kid's prize money up $50,000 to $300,000. So tell me now whether it's worth it.
1-800-449-8686. Ken, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Ken?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, the gay guy keeps saying he's gay and everything else. Where are you from, California?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yeah, you from California?
No, I'm from Pennsylvania.
Really, I don't believe it, because I don't think anything that stupid ever came out of Pennsylvania.
Other than you?
Oh, I'm still in Pennsylvania, so I haven't come out of it.
Oh, okay.
Have you come out of the closet? You say, no, I ain't in a closet.
You're still in the closet?
Okay, what are we getting at here, gentlemen?
Well, this guy wants to get
okay, what I'm trying to get
I'll
at
give
is,
it right back to him.
How can you say that two rights make a wrong? Because you were kicked around and abused as you're growing up for the alternative lifestyle you chose. Now, you want to put somebody else through some type of abuse?
No, I'm just saying.
Possibly cause permanent damage to him? You don't give a rat's ass.
Look,
you
I'm a gay man and a gay journal.
No, I'm not done yet.
I'm a gay man.
You also think, I could care less what you are. I mean, you chose the life, whatever you want to live.
You don't like gays?
I don't care what they do. It does not matter to me. As long as they don't mess with me, I could give a hoot less.
Who's going to mess with you?
I didn't say nobody was going to. But
well,
it doesn't matter. If they want to mess with me, fine.
Right.
I have broad shoulders, and I really don't care. But what I'm trying to get at is you're trying to put some poor kid through all kind of abuse and everything just because you did? So you're trying
to
say two lies make a right?
Ken, I got to tell you something. You sound like you're hiding some homosexuality.
Oh, come on, will you? Like, get serious.
I'll tell you what. You know, for $1 million, you could come up here to Allentown, Pennsylvania. You could stand in the middle of the Lehigh Valley Mall on a bright, sunny day.
Yeah.
And drop your drawers and offer me $1 million to hang on your penis, and I'd look at you and I would laugh because, to me, money is not everything. Because I wouldn't put somebody
to
the idea of watching somebody do that.
There's a bathhouse in Allentown called Mr. Bubbles. Have you been there?
Will we get off of the bathhouse and everything else, Kick? I want to know about the kid that you're abusing.
I'm not abusing the kid. He had the barrel of that gun in his mouth, and he didn't pull the trigger. That's the point.
How would you like if somebody had the barrel of a gun in your mouth? Now, what are you going to do?
Well, it's happened a few
how about
times.
If you went,
okay.
How about, you know, you keep saying you were gay and you were abusing everything else.
I'm a gay
how
man.
Would you like it? How would you like it if you went into redneck country where they absolutely hate and despise your type of people? And they put you in a ring.
How they going to get me? How are they going to get me in the ring, Ken? Hey, Ken, how are they going to get me in that ring?
Put you in a ring.
How are they going to get me in that ring?
Offer you $1 million or
$300,000. I'll pay you $1 million to see if you can get me in that ring. See, you think just because I'm gay, I ain't bad. I'll pay you $1 million. You put your hands on me and try to get me into that ring. If you get me in that ring, you got $1 million.
Gentlemen.
No. This guy started it.
Because you're not even gay. You're just trying to make people think you are.
I'm not gay.
No.
I'll tell you what. I'll take you out. I'll
no,
take
you're
you
not
dancing.
Gay. You're not even from Pennsylvania.
I'll take
like
you dancing.
Said before because,
I'll smack
because
the crap
somebody
out of you.
Stupid,
I'll have my way with you, and I'll drop you on your front doorstep.
Has never, ever came out of Pennsylvania.
Other than Joe Montana.
Okay,
no,
look,
pal, you're the one who wants to hang off my penis, not me. What?
Okay, look, I think the point has been made.
You just go ahead and have your good time.
Because
you were abused, you want somebody else to be abused, just put other people through it. You're trying to say that gays are okay and everything else.
Gays are fantastic.
What you are doing, you are not working for your cause.
You ought to try it.
Have a good day and a happy new year.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, Doug, I would say that in a lot of ways, what that gentleman said was something that needs to be said. I think you can't be... Doug. This guy Ken's gone and Doug's gone. Danger. Call me back. There he is. What are you doing?
I thought you were done. You said goodbye.
That's the guy that's calling. I'm the host of the show. You go when I tell you you can go.
Jesus H, what a power trip.
Now you can go. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Check out our website, philhenryshow.com. If you've missed a Phil Henry show, then you can go onto our website if you have a backstage pass and access 30 days worth of archive shows. The backstage pass, it's only $6.95 a month. $6.95 a month gets you access to all of our audio, whether it is archived or not. Yesterday's flashbacks, you know, all of our audio archived stuff, short form and long form bits, and our shows. It's only $6.95 for the backstage pass. Also, you can pick up our website, pick up our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, 2002 CD entitled World Famous. And the number to call for that is 877-616-7445. That's 877-616-7445. Our souvenir shop has Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, and it's named after our wonderful guest, Ted Bell, who owns Ted's of Beverly Hills. And I was wearing that shirt the other day, in fact, and the lady said to me, well, that's a wonderful way to advertise something, isn't it? Look at that, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great shirt.
I said, well, it's a joke.
Oh, it's a joke. Are you Ted? As I was walking out of the elevator. And I said,
yes.
That's all there is to that story. There's nothing more. Don't wait around for some major punchline. That was it. Now then. If Claude Vireon is right, December 13th, 1973 was a big day for the planet Earth. That's when 4-foot-tall, dark-haired, olive-skinned extraterrestrials appeared to him at a volcano in France and told him they created human life in their image using DNA. Look, the same thing happened to me in 1968 in San Marino, sitting on the curb in front of my girlfriend's house. It's called mushrooms. The scientifically advanced visitors, known as Elohim, supposedly stayed in contact with humans through the years via prophets such as Buddha, Moses, and Jesus. They didn't stay in contact, though, through Muhammad because they said he was a scumbag. Muhammad they threw out of the whole thing. They didn't dig him. Now known as Real, Vorhan seeks to spread a message of science and spirituality and build an embassy for the extraterrestrials in Jerusalem. An embassy. Cool. Last week, much of the world was introduced to the Quebec-based Rayon movement when the group claimed to have created the first human clone, a step toward achieving eternal life. So, have you heard the latest on that? They don't want to give it a blood test. You know why? Because it is not a clone. They said they created a clone, and then when somebody said, well, all you have to do is have a blood test to prove it, and they went, oops, we didn't know that. No, we don't want to do that. So right out of the gate, this guy's credibility is shot. At least those dudes in the sneakers and those blue tunics down in San Diego, there was some sense of reality because they went out and had themselves castrated. And they were waiting for the Martians to come and get them, right? But these guys are just con artists. Many religious scholars, though, see a broader definition of religion, and the Raelians fit it, they say, just as Scientologists, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons do. Wow. Now they're sticking the Mormons in with cult status. Instead of the word cult, considered by religious scholars to be the most derogatory term of their field, modern sects are known as new religious movements. Just because a belief system is young does not make it wrong. After all, the Romans once considered Christians a cult. They were superstitious for not worshiping the emperor, said Frank K. Finn, religion professor of Washington University. See, all of these religions, they're doing exactly what I knew would happen. UFOs, as of 1948, the sightings of UFOs became the new religion. God, Jesus, is on its way out. It's not on its way out, but it's a little dull for the more imaginative people among us. But the new thing, intergalactic creatures, you know, intraspace relations, in other words, hallucinating, that's solid. Now, see, here's what happened. 1941, 39, a war breaks out. It sucks. It's bad. People die. Millions. There's also very dark, dark echoes of the human psyche and its shadow, the Holocaust, which is the very darkest and blackest part of the human experience. But comes another thing. The atomic bomb, a weapon so destructive it can wipe out an entire city. It blows everybody's minds. All I got to do is see that mushroom cloud in Japanese. They surrender. Everybody's freaking out. Now the world starts getting crazy. Now we start imagining giant lizards. We start imagining giant tarantulas attacking cities, grasshoppers taking out Detroit, etc., etc. And now we even start imagining men from outer space. The hysteria begins in 1948 when somebody imagines that a spaceship crashes in Roswell, New Mexico, carrying three guys. Never mind that the Air Force said it was a weather balloon with three dummies in it. I'm sure that, you know, they're lying and the government's hiding it. People start imagining other things. Never has there ever been presented one shred of physical evidence that UFOs exist. But it doesn't matter. It's not about physical evidence. It's about the new religion. It's about the new religion. And the new religion isn't Jesus. It isn't God. It's space, man. It's getting off this planet and going out there. One thing we can see, all those stars out there in the sky at night. We know they're out there. We can see them and we want to get to them. And we can't get to them. So we want to believe that they're getting to us. We want to believe that they're sending down emissaries who are taking care of us. See, the whole idea of God and Jesus, you got to suspend your belief a little bit, right? You got to have faith. But if you believe that there's some guy sending down his emissaries from another planet to look over us, make sure everything's cool, occasionally take one of us up there, molest us, stick something up our rear end or whatever they do, send us back out down onto Earth nude, then that's cool. That's what happens. And maybe they are. I don't know. But the fact is, because there's no physical evidence, all we can do now is turn it into, it's like religious. It's a new religion. And now the Mormons, I don't know. Do they believe in Jesus, Mormons? Yeah. They do believe in Jesus. Don't Scientologists too believe in Jesus? What you gotta do is you gotta bridge the old with the new. If I was starting a religion, I'd work Jesus into it too. Cause I don't wanna just turn people off right away. So I'd say that Jesus didn't get nailed to a cross. He was on, a robot ship that took him away. And maybe it blew up. There. That's how he was sacrificed. He wasn't crucified. His spaceship blew up. But people, you know, it's a religion, man. That's all it is. It's a religion. It's cool because it's kind of got its roots in science. Cloning, you know, Hale-Bopp or whatever the hell that name of that comet was. Remember that thing? Did they think there was a UFO in the tail of that? Following it, and they were going to get taken up there. It reminds me of a movie that I saw about, I don't know, 15 years ago called Life Force, where a comet was coming through the sky, and there were vampires living in the tail of that. Remember that? And they were sucking all the lifeblood out of people? Cool flick. It was with Steve Railsback. I mean, it started out cool, and then it got dopey. It was dopey from the bit. It was cool the way they sucked all the juice out of people, and they would shrivel up. So anyway, it's called the Rail Religion or the Rail Religion or something like that. If you want more information, here's their website. I'm kidding. If you'd like more information, their number is 877-616-PHIL. That's 877-616-PHIL. Ask them about their whole, you know, religious trip and where it is and where it am at. Ask them where Jesus is right now. Is he on Earth? Is he in our very hearts? Or is he traveling somewhere between Pluto and Vulcan? Ask them. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. And again, our website, philhendryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Extremism.